Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Lord Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We recognize we can do nothing without you. Lord Holy Spirit, come and saturate this building. Come and fill this place. We are nothing without you, God. Father, this morning we just come. We are hungry. And we are in love with you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, precious Lord Holy Spirit, come once again upon your people. I know you are called yourself a healer. I know you call yourself the chain breaker. I know you call yourself the one that heals and restores. And so I pray in this day, my Father, send your Spirit once again upon us. Lift the gates, roll the stones away. But Father, we want to testify this morning, and we want to say it is well with my soul. And we lift up the name of Jesus. We love you, Jesus. It's a here. We love you. We love you. Here we are, just lift your hands. Everybody across this building, everybody online watching me, just lift your hands. Come on, 30 seconds, just recognize the King. He's coming, and He loves you. Come on, just recognize Him. Recognize Him. Father, I pray as all the hands are lifted high, everybody online, everybody inside this building, your hands are a way of surrender. Surrender to the King. He's the God of suddenly. Surrender to the King. All our locations, surrender to the King. Pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, come and touch my life. Come and touch my tongue. Come and touch my temple. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Come on, he needs to know that. Power, say that again to him. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Abba. I love you, Lord Holy Spirit. I love you, Lord. Father, break open my heart. Reveal your heart unto me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Oh, amen. Come on. Beautiful. Beautiful. Can we just... Oh, can you feel the presence of God? He's here because He wants to talk to you. You look beautiful, by the way, Pretoria. Amen. Why don't you give a God bless you to the worship team? They were brilliant once again. Come on, let's appreciate them. They put hours and hours into what they do. You know, I'm not a good singer, but this song that we sang, I believe it. When He says it, I believe it. He says we will be healed, we will be healed. He said we'll have breakthrough, we'll have breakthrough. He said, I love you, That's true. He said, I'll never leave you. I believe that. Never, no, never. Never, ever, ever. Never will that happen. If He says, I'm your healer, I believe it. If He says, I'm your redeemer, I believe that. If He says, I am your prince, I believe it. If He says, I'm your king, I believe it. If He says, there's no devil in hell that can conquer my love for you, I believe it. If He says, there's no circumstance that you will ever face in your life too great for my power, I believe it. Oh, who of you believe it when He says it? Come on, do you believe it when He says it? I believe what He says. I believe He said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. No, never. He said, it is finished. And He said, I love you more than what I can ever love Him back. Amen. That's what makes me brave. Oh, I feel like worshiping Jesus today. You know. Oh, come on, let's give Jesus just 10 seconds. Let's just do this. 10 seconds of praise. 10 seconds of praise. Come on, empower Pretoria. Let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. Let's lift up His name. Oh, say to your neighbor, today is a breakthrough day. Oh, no, say to the other one, the one that you don't like. Say, today is a breakthrough day. Oh, I'm teasing. Say to somebody behind you or somewhere, you look beautiful. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Okay, come on. Let's lift our hands. Father, I want to pray as we share this word, Lord, as You've given it to me. I want to pray right across this auditorium. I want to pray for everybody watching us. Father, I pray, thank You, Jesus, that the word of Jesus Christ works. The word works. Father, I believe in this morning, Lord, take Your word and penetrate our hearts with it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and all God's beautiful people say, amen. Amen and amen. You're welcome to be seated. And it's so good to see the house of the Lord so full. Amen. I love it. And everybody online, welcome again. I want to share the gospel, get it out. Send it to somebody. This word this morning, you can literally say, share, tag my enemy, and send it. Amen. Listen, I want to preach this thing in the way God gave it to me. And we're living in a season right now where people have a lot to say, but there's not always great sustenance behind what is said. Are you there? And we believe in an age and a time and an era right now where, you know, it's almost like people have lost their ability to think. We often will see something. We'll see something on Facebook. We'll see something on Instagram. We'll see something on Google. And we believe it to be true. Oh, come on. Am I talking to the right people here? Do you know that every form of big tech, and I include Facebook's, YouTube, WhatsApp, Instagram, do you know that even now as you sit here this morning, that they are programming exactly what you see on your phone, and so they're feeding you of your information? But I'm here to tell you this morning that the information that they are giving you are not higher than the information that has been given to us. Oh, can I have an amen? And so one of the things that I've seen in this season, and I want to talk to you about it, because I've seen that people can't control their tongues. Oh, come on. Don't go silent on me now, because I'm going to warm this thing up for you. So in James chapter number 3, verse number 2, the Bible says this, and I'm going to share it like God gave it to me. For the Bible says, for all stumble in many things. If anyone doesn't stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. But look, verse number 4, look also at this, or look also at ships. Although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of hell, and it's set on fire by hell. Now listen, before we go too heavy with this, I want you to understand something. Life and death lies in the power of the tongue. And if I know my people correctly, I know that we are not as holy as what we dress. Can I say that again? We are not as holy as what we dress because we are a people that sometimes have a slip of the tongue. Oh, come on, don't bump your neighbor because I'm talking absolutely the truth this morning. We are living in an age and in a generation where we have more people that have less ability. Because listen, in 10 years ago, we didn't have something called all of these social media platforms. And 10 years ago, if you had a problem, you go and sort it out. Oh, can I have an amen for that? But now these days, you have people that will type messages for you on Facebook and on Instagram and on YouTube, who of you know who I'm talking about, but they will never have the guts to come to you face to face because the age that we are living in has made us weak. Come on, are you there? Do you know the Bible says if you have an offense with somebody, go to that person in person and tell somebody about it. It's going quiet. Don't go quiet on me now. The number one reason why we assassinate other people in our hearts is because we don't confront them one-on-one. If we never confront people one-on-one, we have decided to become the judge and the jury. But the last time I checked, the same grace that saves you, saves them. Come on. I'm talking to myself. And grace not applied is grace not received. Because all of us are, come on, all of us fall short of the glory of God. And here's one thing that I want you to understand. Every single one of you have a blind spot as you sit here this morning. Every one of you online, you have a blind spot. There's something to you that you don't see. Come on. That's why when you drive a car, you have a rear view mirror. The rear view mirror is there to eliminate your blind spot. Are you with me? And sometimes still even with a rear view mirror, most of us will still make the accidents. Come on, am I talking to somebody? If you're a husband here this morning, don't bump your wife twice. But the point is, even in today's technology, like for example, the other day, you know, I'm used to driving cars with cameras. So if you are used to that by now, that when you reverse, you see something and you can just go for it. And so the other day we used a rental, and as we were using the rental had no rear view camera. And so it was a minibus because I have a big family. And so I thought to myself, how do people drive this stuff without feedback? Are you there? And I thought to myself, it takes a special group of people to drive the buses and the taxis. And now I understand why taxis are so dangerous, because they have no feedback. You know, except the people screaming in the taxi, hey, watch out. Oh, come on, am I talking to somebody here? Many times in life, we don't afford people the feedback of going to them one-on-one. And because we don't allow other people the grace of feedback, we allow ourselves to go into offense. Offense is something that has happened to you. Offended is a decision by you. Oh, come on. Let me say it again. Offense is an event. Offended is a choice. Because most of the time, the people that we are offended to and offended about, they are living their lives. And while you are making them living rent-free in your heart and in your mind, they are lying on the beach having a time of their lives. Are you there? But there's so many people that get stuck at the road of offense. And it's because we can't control our tongues. Jesus said life and death lies in the power of the tongue. Oh, come on, am I talking to somebody here? Jesus said the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it, listen carefully, those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, before you have a fruit, you have to have a seed. And I think the reason why many people are living certain things is because they've allowed seeds to flow. For an example, many people are living poverty, they're living brokenness, they're living pain, they're living shame, they're living betrayal, they're living certain things. But what they don't understand is that there was a time in their life that they sowed those seeds. What comes around goes around. Oh, come on. What you say matter. Listen, you are the only creature that God made that can talk. I know you want to roar at times. But you are the only creature that can talk. Do you know that? Why? Because He made you in His image and in His likeness. Only you can talk. And how often do we not use our tongues as weapons when we should use them as building sites? And you say to me, Pastor, where do you get that from? Well, Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 29 says this, let no unwholesome speech proceed out of your mouth. In other words, what will mess you up shouldn't leave your mouth. Oh, come on. And I sometimes listen to people speak and I hear defeat in their speech. Listen, I am more than a conqueror, not because I won't face the battles, but because I will face the battles, but I will overcome. You are not more than a conqueror because there will nothing be ever to be conquered. The reason why God calls you more than a conqueror is because there is stuff that you're going to need to conquer in your life. But the way you speak about it is the way you're going to attempt to defeat it. Oh, come on. I love sports. So when I was doing sports at school and at university, there was always a speech before you played the game. The coach will, they will, normally those speeches was not very biblical, but they will psych you up. Who of you know what I'm talking about? These are always these funny moments because the coach will use words that you can't use in a church and they will try to psych you up, get you going, get you motivated. And then right at the end, before we run onto the field, he says, let's pray. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, who of you know what I'm talking about? They'll use that word, I'm talking about. They'll use that word passionately. They'll tell you what you must do and what you mustn't do. They'll align all of us up. All of us are psyched up. All of us huddle. All of us, 1, 2, 3, and we shout the team's name. All of us are passionate about what we are about to do. But just before we go and do it, the coach becomes spiritual and he says, let's pray. And now everybody that just goes together, we pray. Isn't that how life works? How many times don't we defeat ourselves by what we say in our inner room? And then we pray to God to help us play the game. Oh, come on. I know I'm preaching good because many of us are talking like losers long before we fight the battle. You are what you say. Your words are your world. Let me use an example. I'll use my own life. When I lost my mom, when I lost my dad, when I lost my friends, when I lost certain things, people say, I don't know how you're going to overcome it. And this thing I said to myself the whole time, I must just outlast it. That's it. And they said, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to do that. But I refused to let myself say certain things. Because I knew, even though I say, I don't know how I'm going to do this, or I feel overwhelmed, or the pain is too deep, whatever the case is, I knew that will not change the battle. Oh, come on. Because the devil doesn't ask you for when he can attack, he just attacks when you're weary. Oh, come on, am I talking to somebody here? It's just say, give me an amen or a something here this morning. And so the Lord gave it to me in a picture. He said, your tongue can steer you or your tongue can anchor you. Oh, come on. And many people, that's where the title of the message comes from. Many people have handed the paddle of their lives over to others. In other words, they've taken their tongue and they've taken their paddle and they've given it to other people. And you may say to me, what do you mean? I want to demonstrate to you this morning. I want to show you. And I hope this demonstration catches you. Your tongue is like a paddle. Your life is like a boat. Now listen to me. If I climb into the boat of life, my life, there's so many people that have handled their paddle to other people. They've handled the battle to people that are offended. Because I'm a leader long enough to know that everybody doesn't need to like me. Hello? And so what happens many times in life, because if you hand your battle over, your boat is drifting. And it's going to drift the way the world drifts. Oh, come on. Am I talking to somebody? And the Lord said to me this. He said, many people have handed their battle over to pain. Now, pain is starting to row their boat. Or hurt. Now, hurt is starting to row their boat. Come on. Is this talking to you? Or people have betrayed me. Now betrayal is starting to row my boat. But here's the thing about God. Do you know the Bible says God doesn't expect you to row your boat? He says you have to sit at the back. And there's somebody else in front. His name is the Holy Spirit. In actual fact, if you know anything about rowing, it works like this. The guy that rows in front controls the boat. In other words, if I row behind him, I must be in sync with him. If I'm not in sync with him, he needs to counter steer. In other words, he must correct what I do wrong. Oh, come on. Am I talking to somebody? And what the Lord said to me during this week, he said, Gibbard, what is happening to many, many people is they've literally taken their battle, their tongue. They are literally the thing that should have steered them towards righteousness and godliness and holiness and the call of God. They've literally handed it over to the offended. And the offense, by the way, doesn't row this way. Offended people are going nowhere. They don't even have a paddle. They're just sitting in their little boat, drifting. And here's the problem, guys. Here's the problem. If you don't have a paddle, in other words, if you don't control your tongue, you can't blame other people for the mess your boat gets in. Yeah, I know. Sometimes we are so often we want to say, yeah, but my dad. Yeah, but my mom. Yeah, but that boss. Yeah, but that employer. Let's say to these people, grow up. Take the chip off your shoulder. It's called life. Nobody is perfect. Oh, come on. Give Jesus a praise offering. And the next time somebody criticizes somebody, tell them, show me the perfect you. Am I talking to you the truth? And the Lord showed me this thing while I was praying. The Lord said, people have literally done this. They've handled their paddle over. They don't have a panel no more. And now they're just floating. And the Lord said to me to tell you this morning, take your tongue back. Take your tongue back. Make your tongue again redeemed. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Praise the Lord. Listen, your tongue is so powerful that what you say can save you. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you are saved. You are born again. You are born again based on your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. So don't tell me you can't just say anything and everything and there's no price tag to it. No, everything we say has a price tag. Because even though they might not hear you, God does. Oh, come on. Do I have an amen here? Yeah, all the people that have been gossiped about, give Jesus a praise offering. That's all of you, by the way. So, this is what the Lord said to me. He says, Gibbard, I love words so much that I called my son the word. Jesus calls himself the Word. And then the Lord asked me this question. Are you ready for it? Come on, are you strong this morning? The Lord asked me this question. Who's really rowing your boat? Who's really rowing your boat? Who's really rowing your boat? I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, am I still really in control? Or do you worship me just when others see? Do you just praise me when others look at you? Who's really rowing your boat? Who's really in control of your life? And then the Lord said this to me. He said, because this is what happens to life, guys. I pray that you hear what I say this morning. Is that this is what happens. Is that sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck at places we shouldn't get stuck. And because we get stuck, we start to blame others and we look for reasons why we are stuck. Are you there? Because now we sit in this boat. Just think with me. How easy is it not to blame others for why I'm stuck? How easy is it not to say to other people, but you know, they did that, so I'm now stuck here. No, that's not called Christianity. That's called blaming. We cannot blame others for a lack of growth in our lives. But Pastor, you don't understand my past. Well, it's under the blood, so you must count that as dead. But Pastor, you don't understand my now. Well, I've seen nobody successful in life that has ever counted their now as an excuse for where they want to go to. But Pastor, you don't understand my pain. Listen, he's called himself the healer. But Pastor, you don't understand my loneliness. Well, Jesus calls himself the comforter. But Lord, you don't understand how I feel deep down in my heart. No, I understand exactly. But I have also learned in life this, that my excuses does not hold up with a king that is bleeding out on the cross. The reason why most people are offended, can I give you the bottom line reason why most people are offended in other people is because they trusted people. The Bible says, trust God. Love people. And by the way, your Christianity is defined how you treat your enemy, not your friends. It's uncomfortable. But it's true. Jesus doesn't say, listen, you're my friend because you're perfect. Because none of us will be saved. Come on, am I talking to someone here? And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, and when I wrote this down yesterday, I felt an anger of God. He said this to me. He said, there's some of my people that have been named and I don't like that name. I said, Lord, talk to me. And he said this. He said, they called David a shepherd's boy. And he was not a shepherd's boy. He was a king. They called the lady of the issue of blood. They called her the lady of the issue of blood. I call her daughter. And when I read this, it jumped in my heart. And the Lord said, listen, there's some tags and titles and names and things that people are calling you from. Listen, they must not think that they can say things about you and escape the father of you. They must not think they can discuss the children without the father. And you can say, oh, but I'm getting away with it. Hey, try to discuss my kids. And see, I'll take the pastor jacket off for you twice. Because it's my children. And so how do we dare sometimes in life discuss other people just like they are nobodies? Listen, they are highly worth, they are deeply loved, they are abundantly blessed, and they're God's kids. Who are you to have an opinion? You know, these days, I'll say it, let me just get it off my shoulder. You know, these days, people have a lot to say about churches. Well, come try and preach. Come stand in front of thousands. Come, you do it. I'm honest, I'm joking. I won't give you the mic anyway. But no, but if I had the church, you know, I would run it this way. Really? Really? You can't even fix your own shirt properly, man. Come on, I'm not being weird. It's true. Most of the time, we judge what we don't understand. Yeah, but if that was my marriage, I'll never do it like that. Never. I'll always speak to my wife in a calm and very intelligent, graceful manner. Really? That were my children, I'll never shout at them. I'll treat them the way that they need to be treated, in the fear and the love of God. Really? Well, I'll let them wake you up 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 days in a row. Let's see how Christian you are. Come on. The other day, Shannon, you know, Jocelyn was still smaller. She was still in a pram and Shannon was busy shopping. And, you know, and as she was busy shopping and pushing the pram, Jocelyn just had a fit. I don't know, are your kids like that? They throw fits in all the wrong places. Come on, do you know what I'm talking about? Is there somebody with me? Oh, don't leave your pastor hanging. And so anyway, she was pushing the pram, and in the one hand and the other hand, she had the trolley and she was starting to put stuff in, and Jocelyn was screaming and shouting and having whatever, and Shannon's trying to calm her down. And so these older ladies come to her and they say, oh, you know, just give her a chocolate and just give her this and give her that. And, you know, Shannon was like all Christian and like, no, that's fine. You know, just leave us. And then suddenly, in the same setting, you find these stairs of judgment. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know many sentences do never need to leave your mouth? They are found in your eyes. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Let me test you quickly. Who of you know the silent stare that speaks volumes? It's that stare when you get home, when you're there and mom and dad is there and they're just like, they say nothing, but they're preaching. Who of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. My dad had a sermon like that. He will say nothing, but his blue eyes will go gray. And then I will say, Jesus, if you ever wanted to come, now is the time. Who of you know what I mean? Yeah, come on. You know, these days they tell the kids, go and, you know, sit in the corner and have a time out. We never had time out. We had a slap out. Who of you know that? We had a pass out. And we turned out just fine. I'm not saying you must do that. I'm just saying that's how we grew up. You know, my mom spanked us so much. She spanked us until she was tired. And so when we grew older, we became wiser. We just knew, this is a fit game. So if I'm fitter, I'm going to run. I'm going to move around a lot. Come on, who of you know what I'm talking about? So mom slapped you. Dads, they'll talk once, slap twice. We grew up just fine. Oh, come on, are you there? Are you with me? And please, I'm not endorsing that. Please don't do that. You know, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. The point is simply this, that in my day, I'm not that, that sounds like I'm old, I'm very young still. But like, we grew up, wrong is wrong and right is right. And there's no in between. It's like silent sermons. You late. Oh, come on. Let's greet Africa, Father. We bless Africa. Father, I thank you for the privilege to stream into Africa and for thousands of people watching. And I pray, Lord, that as they go this morning, that they will be able to say, control my tongue. In Jesus' name. Amen. We bless Africa as they go. But you know, silence is a sermon. So back to the point, these ladies, they, you know, if it was my kid, silent sermons, they have the stare, they look at us weird. But here's the point, they forgot how it is to raise children and do shopping. So they're measuring us on a level that they've forgotten. Oh. How many times in life are we not measuring other people on a grace level we have forgotten saved us? Yeah, absolutely true. So, okay, let me say it like this. And this is what I knew this is not going to be a shout sermon, but I'm going to get you shouting just now. I knew that the Lord wants us to control our tongues because our future is in our mouth. Yeah, come on. And so in Luke 6 verses 45, the Bible says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In other words, your mouth gives your heart away. But now, yeah, here's a big thing. As Christians, many times, you know, we say, okay, I won't say anything. But here's the thing. The atmosphere of your heart still gives you away. I've stood next to many people over the years. Many, many. I can't tell you how much. Then their mouth will say, hello, Pastor Gebot. How are you, sir? Their mouth say the right things, but their hearts, I can see. Then I'm like, okay, you're going to go through some testing. The Bible says, watch your own heart. Look after your own heart. Oh, come on. And some of us need to read the scripture before we need to read Facebook and Instagram. Yes. Okay, come on, it's going silent. And so can I give you some tongue tips this morning? You know, somebody said during this week to me, I had a meeting, somebody said, listen, you are always preaching how we should live our lives. Please tell us what to do. So I thought to myself, I'll give you some tongue tips this morning. Tip number one, take responsibility for yourself. For you. Oh, come on, for yourself. Take responsibility for yourself. Take responsibility for your own heart. That's tip number two. Tip number three, understand that you are not the judge nor the jury. Nobody assigned you a little card with your name on it and calls it jury police or judging Christianity police. Nobody gave you a card like that. Not even God. He is the judge, and the jury has already taken place 2021 years ago when the Son bled on the cross. So the next time He's going to judge you is between heaven and hell, by the way. You are not the judge nor the jury, so shh. Oh, come on. I'm smiling as I say this. Understand that your word, tip number four, understand your words reflects your heart more than what it reflects the other person's life. Because listen, if we feel a right to discuss somebody else, what we believe we are actually at a place where we can judge somebody else. If I discuss somebody else judgmentally, critically, out of offense, you know what I'm actually doing? I'm saying to God, listen, I'm perfect and I don't need your grace. So I'm not going to discuss somebody else. I'm going to discuss one of your kids. Think about it just for a moment. I'm going to discuss one of your kids, which you're going to hear about. And in 2 days from then, I'm going to ask you to help me. And God is a father, and He's like, but you are discussing one of my kids. Now you want my help? No. Go and fix it with one of my children, please. And what I'm saying is biblical. Matthew 18:24 tells you exactly this. If you have a problem, go talk to people. Don't send them a mail. Don't send them an Insta. Don't send them a letter. Go and talk. It is a proven fact that 90% of what you believe to be true is your assumption. Proven. It's a fact. It is a psychological written fact what I'm saying now. Most of the time, you're wrong. But our words are like feathers. We take the words, we throw them into the air. Then we learn that we are wrong. Now we want to collect the feathers, but the damage has been done. Oh, come on. Give Jesus a praise offering. Tip number four, practice silence. Oh, I'm preaching to myself. Practice silence. I know you want to say it, but every now and again, just like, practice silence. Because when you practice silence, you show somebody else is in control. Oh, you say, where do you get that? Jesus, listen, come on. Jesus hangs on the cross. He's silent. They're like, why are you not talking? He's got all the right to talk. Yeah, he has, but somebody's going to talk now for him. He doesn't defend himself. He's just silent. Why? Because somebody else is going to help him just now. It's called God. But sometimes practice silence. I know this is hard. It's one of the things I needed to learn as well, because as being prophetic, you know, sometimes you see it long before other people will see it. I'll see it sometimes a year before it happens, and then I need to keep quiet. I struggle with that because I'll see stuff in people's lives. I'll see, okay, that's going to happen. I see that a year in advance. Then I warn them. They listen not. They go do it anyway. Then their lives gets messed up, and then they come back. Then I'm like, if you just listened. Oh, come on, are you there? Can I? Oh, I pray I'm reaching your hearts this morning. Tip number six, are you strong? Pray more for the person you want to speak about. Pray for them. Because you haven't fought their battles. I haven't fought their battles. So stop judging what you don't live. No, but if I was the boss. Yeah, but you're not the boss. So keep quiet. No, but if I was the parent. But you're not a parent. You're a single person of no responsibility. So shh. No, but if I was the wife. No, but you're not. You are married just for 6 months, not 10 years. So you don't know what you're talking about. Please keep your mouth out my marriage. Come on, can I have an amen here or somebody? No, but if it was my business, I would have run it this way. I would have done it that way. But it's not your business, so keep your mouth shut. Yeah, I'm talking the truth this morning because I love you. We have to keep our mouths out of other people's lives. Because it's not your marriage, it's not your children, it's not your business. Keep your mouth in your own life. Pray for people, love people, because all of you have sin in your life. Some of you fought to church. Some of you yelled at your wife before you came to the church. Now you're singing with us. Great are you, Lord. Yeah, I watched some of you. Then, here's the big grace part. When you lose it, repent. Because you are going to lose it. We are Africans. We will lose it. There's times that you're going to lose it where you're going to say, what? You come here. Then that neighbor comes and they see a Power Church badge on your car. You say, come here. I'll beat you in front of this badge. Yeah, I know. I know some of you. Yeah, I'm like that too. I'm like, yeah, I need to watch it these days because people know us more and more. But, you know, when it gets to my children, I'm like, I'll show up. But you're a pastor. Nah, it doesn't matter. I'm a dad first. Oh, come on. But when we lose it, repent. Say you're sorry. God doesn't hold it against you. Neither should people. You know, people sometimes have scuba gear. You know scuba gear? Scuba gear Christianity. What's scuba gear Christianity? Scuba gear Christianity is this. We take our scuba gear of our self-righteousness and we go dive into other people's past. Please leave your self-righteous scuba gear alone. And don't judge people on their low. Because some people go for real stuff. They go through a divorce. Now you want to tell them, no, just quote the scripture, you're going to be fine. They don't want to be fine right now. They want to cry. The best thing you can do is put your hand on their shoulder and let them cry. Come on, we need to be real Christians. You know, sometimes we tell people such stupid stuff. People lost their loved ones. Now you want to tell them, you know, I'm going to be there for you forever. No, you're not. You're lying. The best thing you can do is be quiet, put your hand on them, and be there when they need you. That's it. Sometimes when kids go through real stuff, stop trying to explain to them how life works. Listen. It's true what I'm saying. Young people, listen to me this morning. All people, listen to me this morning. Stop trying to live somebody else's life. Live your own. You know what people do these days? They see somebody else driving a certain car, dressing a certain way, and they want to buy on credit what somebody else has worked for. But they want to skip the working part. They just want the outer part. But what they don't understand is with the dress code comes the pain. Or am I talking to someone right now? They want it on credit. No, credit makes it cheap. It means you will not take care of it. It means you will not love it. Oh, if there's somebody here, do you know the pain? The pain of success. The pain of success is when you work for it. We are raising a generation that wants to buy on credit what we have bled for. You can't buy God out. You can't buy success out. You can't buy your future out. You need to work for it. It's true. Oh, come on. Bump your neighbor, say, pastor's preaching good today. Come on. Help me out. Come on, don't be that negative. I'm just speaking about tongues here. Remember, point number 8, remember Jesus does not say love your friends, he says love your enemies. Then, oh, this is one I waited for, the whole sermon I waited for this one. Stop being a warrior online. You know, some people, they write stuff on. No, these days, I must be honest, I literally just type whatever I want and I click send and I don't watch again. Because I don't want the feedback. Because people feel, if you're a public figure, they feel they have a right to tell you stuff. And it's okay, they can say whatever they want to. But the point is, before you're a warrior online, you call yourself Christian, make an appointment with that person. Because none of you put on Facebook or Instagram or all of these platforms, none of us put the bad part out for the world to see. In other words, you don't take photos of you without makeup and then pout. Yeah, I know. We put the makeup on, then we pout at somebody else's car. And we check the likes. Oh, 10 likes, 20 likes, 30 likes, 40 likes. And we feel good about ourselves. Now, I dare you, put the photos on of the real you. And let's see what people say. By the way, when it comes to God, you can't fake it. It's true what I'm saying this morning. Oh. We must stop being self-righteous. We must turn to the Lord for righteousness. Amen. Then lastly, please, 2 more. I'm gonna go for this. Filter your words through the Word of God. In other words, what the Word says, filter your words through that. Don't filter your words through yourself. don't filter your words through emotions. Don't filter your words through how you feel at this moment, because you might be wrong. Are you there? Then, I'll go for two more, because I want to throw this one out at you. Practice listening and not responding. Men, can I help all the men out here right now? I can solve your marriage problems in 30 seconds. You want to? Yeah, I'm going to solve it right now. When your wife tells you about an issue, she doesn't want you to solve it. She wants you to listen to her. Am I right, ladies? Because when she talks, she is giving you her emotions. You don't need to fix it. You just need to listen. So here is the tip, gentlemen. If she talks about stuff you don't understand, here is the pose that you must get. If she talks long, you're just like... Amen? I've saved marriages just there. Men, stuff you shouldn't do. Yeah, but you should have. No. You're lighting yourself up to be beaten. Listen and smile. Oh, come on, I saved you. Just there. Sometimes, listen, I have four women in my house. Four women. I am completely outnumbered. Four women. And sometimes the estrogen levels go high. Very high. We even have a dog that's female. So, true story. And so sometimes I'm just like, Jesus, save me. But I've learned to not listen. Don't have a clue. Yeah. Then I leave and I'm like, God, do you know what they just spoke about? I got no idea. This is a mystery unto me. Amen. Thank be to God that God didn't give us a book about women, because none of us will read it anyway. Amen. come on, don't be so serious. Come on, it's true. Last one, stop complaining. Stop moaning. You're sitting in this church, you people sitting online, you look beautiful. Just stop it. Stop the moaning. God gives nothing to moaners. He doesn't like moaning. Are you with me? He wants to give you the best. But stop complaining when you're on your way still. Lastly, this morning when I prayed, the Lord said this to me. Oh, He spoke right into my heart. He said this. He says, I call myself, I am. I said, I know, Lord. He says, no, you don't. And I've learned it with life. When God says to me those type of sentences, He wants to show me something. Many times we use the words, I am only. I am only 20. I have only this. I am only that. We use this word, I am only, quite frequently. And then the Lord said to me, change your narrative. Because I am your healing. I am your breakthrough. I am your healer. I am your redeemer. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Nissi. I am your God. I am the God of suddenlies. So every time you want to use it as an excuse, don't, because I am. I can heal it. I can redeem it. I can help you. I will help you. I can sort out the problem. I can get you out of this trouble. I can heal your marriage. Don't tell me I can't. I can. But it will take that you give this battle back to me and let me jump back into your ship and come and steer it for you. And some of us, what we need to learn, I was with one of my best friends. I went to paddle the other day on a real canoe. And as we were sitting, he was paddling and he's fit, or he's fit of canoeing. And it was my first time. And so what I learned was that as he paddles, I needed to paddle with him. And so here's how we paddled. I thought it's about power. Because every time we paddled, I would use my strength. But every time I did that, he would coach me. He would say, no, not with your power, with grace. And I'll be, no, I want to power this thing because I'm strong. He said, no, grace. He said, he used that word. He said, gracefully, please. I would beat the water and, you know, I'm like Moses. I want to beat it. You know, he was like, grace, gracefully. Let's do it gracefully. Some of you, you need to stop beating your life. Get into the grace of God. Slowly, slowly. Come on, let's give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Have I preached to you this morning? Have I spoken to you this morning? And so what you have to do today, you have to take this boat of yours. And you have to say to the devil, you have to say to people, this is my life. It doesn't belong to the devil. It doesn't belong to my situation. It doesn't belong to sickness. It doesn't belong to poverty. It doesn't belong to pain. This is my life. My life. And the Bible says we need to live a life in abundance. He came for a life in abundance. But you need to say, it's like that Bon Jovi song, this is my life. This is my life. I choose Jesus. I choose to live my life. And when you do it, please get out of other people's homes. Get out of other people's relationships. Ladies, stay out of marriages that doesn't belong to you. Gentlemen, stay out of marriages that doesn't belong to you. Stay out of it. Live your life. Take control back. This is your boat. This is your life. You have one chance. Live it. Live it. Live it. Live it. Live it. Live it. I say again, live your life. Take control and live it. Take control back. And live your life. Will there come a pebble or two in the river system? Absolutely. Go around it or go over it. But keep on going. Never ever stop. Keep on going. And so this morning, what I wanted to say finally was simply this. Jesus said it to me this way. He said it to me this way. He said, you know what? You know what? Every single person that listens to you today, every single one of them can be saved by a word. If they call on my name, I'll save them. That's how powerful this little muscle is. It can save you. And so this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity. And you might say, I'm already saved. But is your marriage safe? Is your relationship safe? Is your mouth safe? Is your heart safe? Is the way that you handle your money saved? Yeah? I want to worship Jesus, but pay your tithe. Hey, I'm not that saved. Come on, church. You know what's my dream? Yes, my dream. I'm going to be on this planet just once. My plan is to build a house of God in this area for your children, for my children, for our children's children, that will stretch over 5 cities, as he told me. It will be so big, we will influence communities, and that our children will have a place to play. And our children will have a place to be educated. And our children will have a place to live their lives as what it should be. And as your leader, I'm going there. I'm creating a tomorrow. And will I be ridiculed? Absolutely. But But here's one thing about us that you have to know. We won't stop. Because we are convinced what He said. He said, this area shall be saved. He said, Durban shall be saved. He said, Cape Town will be saved. He said, Bloemfontein will be saved. He said, Witbank will be saved. He said, Pretoria will be saved. And my dream is to see a generation come back to God. That's why we do education to the best of our abilities. That's why we want to build something to the best of our abilities, so that the generations to come after us will still have a reason to worship Him and to praise Him and to lift up His name. Come on, are you passionate about that? And so I want to encourage you this morning with me. If you say, Pastor, I'm guilty, I need to repent. Then the word of the Lord needed to penetrate your heart this morning. And you needed to say, that's exactly me. I'm sorry. It's jammer. And go and repent. Go and repent. And mean it when you repent. Don't be fake. We don't like fake stuff. Amen. And so this morning, I want to ask you this morning, by everybody that's online, and everybody that's in the house, it's time to have sanctified tongues. Is that okay? And here's one way we can do it. We ask the Holy Spirit for help. So if that's you this morning, you say, Lord, help me. I've sinned, I've put seed into the ground that I don't want its fruit of. Because here's the thing, if you discuss other people will discuss you. If you betray other people will betray you. If you rob from other people will rob from you. If you are not trustworthy, other people will not be trustworthy to you. If you stab somebody in the back, somebody will stab you in the back. But the seed we put in the ground is the fruit that's going to grow. Oh. And what I want to ask the Lord for this morning is that God will break the power of our seeds, that we don't eat the fruit of our lips. Only God can do that. So if that's you this morning, wherever you are this morning and inside this building, I think it's time to stand if that's you and say, Pastor, I want to repent of what I said. 1, 2, 3, and stand. Only if the Lord spoke to you. People online, you can throw an emoji up there for me with a little hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. I want you there. I want you to know that God's grace is sufficient, and you are not, just by standing, it's already in the light. What is in the light cannot be in the darkness. And I want you, there we are. Let's just take a moment. Won't you lift your hands to the Lord? And I'm going to lead you into a prayer of repentance. Everybody online, pray with me this prayer. I'm seeing all the hands go up. Pray with me. Let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that I can repent of the words of my lips. I ask you in this day to forgive me of words said. Father, thank you that you heal me of all matters of unrighteousness. In this moment, I ask that you cleanse my lips, that you heal my heart in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that I don't want the seeds to grow. Father, I ask right now, cancel the power of the seed to not grow in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Oh, come on. Amen and amen. Amen. Come on, clap those hands like you're free this morning.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.